They call it the 10 days of awe. You need to really try to focus and keep those 10 days where there's some meditative, introspective type time. When Yom Kippur comes, it's a day of fasting, but it's a day where there is a collective repentance. Millions of people all around the world repenting on the Day of Atonement.
In this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast, it is 5786. It's Fall Feast, and it's Yom Kippur, the feast that we're talking about in this episode. And Rabbi, we were talking about how we're going to kind of approach this one. I mean, obviously, the feast coming up, we've done some other content on the Fall Feast, 5786, a lot of lead-in content to it. But you had a really unique angle and an idea, and it was around the actual mechanics of Yom Kippur. So is that where you want to start in this episode?
Yeah, let's up front, and then we'll kind of unpack it, the benefits of Yom Kippur, especially for like Christians and believers that are not familiar with the Day of Atonement. Now, if you take it into a calendar mechanic, is you have Rosh Hashanah, which is the start of the head of the year. It's an awakening blast. That awakening is for revelatory enlightenment to what's out of alignment with God in your life. I'm going to say that again. Those shofar blasts say, Lord, it's kind of like going to the doctor and getting an MRI. Where is the blockage? What's the issue? What's causing the health issue? And then you have it, they call it the 10 days of awe. That's the mechanics. You have 10 days, and that's where the enemy will attack you and try to keep you busy and little foxes and running here and running there. You need to really try to focus and keep those 10 days where there's some meditative, introspective type time. Then when Yom Kippur comes, what it is, it's a day of fasting, but it's a day where there is a collective repentance. You know, I think a lot of times people forget that there's like you repenting on your own, that you could repent right now today. That's a singular repentance. And then you and your wife could repent, or you and a friend, or you and a pastor could repent together. And so that would be like one repenting, two, like one puts 1,000 to flight, two, 10,000. So it'd be two repenting. But what happens on Yom Kippur, this is where people miss it. You have literally millions of people all around the world in a spiritual global atmosphere repenting on the Day of Atonement. And that's what I always try to convey. It's not just House of David and all the, let's say we have 8 or 9, 10,000 people online for that service repenting. It's around the world. I mean, you can look at the Western Wall in Jerusalem and it's packed, you know, with people, Jewish people repenting. But there's people all over the world that repent on this day. So I think that if you can look at the mechanics and the practicality is awaken, Lord, search me and know me. I desire truth in my inward parts. 10 days of that examination, and then collectively where everybody's repenting at the same time, you join in on that, and it releases great faith, refreshing, and renewal, because without repentance, you repeat.
So in this moment of the Fall Feast, obviously, Day of Atonement, I mean, you've walked through structure, and, you know, honestly, I've been intentional on actually realizing how global it is on that day, right? And just the impact of prayer. I'm not sure if I've heard you kind of break it down even as simple as that was, right? And so as people are preparing right now, leading into it, what's a couple of things that they can do from a prayer perspective, from a mental perspective? I mean, even a family, like, you know, kind of a prep area, right? That like if someone's watching and they're the spiritual leader of their house, right? Could be the wife, could be the husband, whatever, right? If they're the spiritual leader and they're trying to lead their family, even their friends too, into Yom Kippur, right? Into Sukkot afterwards, right? get through the fall feast, what are a couple ways that they can actually accomplish that?
I would address like some of the things the family's struggling with. Like it might be illness, it might be infirmity, it might be financial lack, it might be some relationship issues. Whatever the issues are, if I was like a father or grandfather, I would say, we're going to take these things to Jesus. And we'd say, Jesus, we have this sickness. Jesus, we have this infirmity. We have this financial need, whatever it is. And I would speak it out like that. Like I'm imagining if I was with my grandkids. And then I would say, we're in this 10-day period of time where we're coming up to this day called Yom Kippur. It's a day of atonement. You know, in the Old Testament, it was done with animals and they were the sacrifice. But now we have the Lamb of God. Jesus was the Lamb of God, and he died for the atonement of all of our sins. And when his disciples asked him how to pray, there was instruction. So I would take him in and I would say, let's decree it together. Our Father who art in heaven. He's in the authority, sits at the right hand of the Father and honors the currency of heaven. So I'd say, hallowed, which means holy, be his name. And then what's the request? Father God, out of heaven, let your kingdom, highest best, come. Let your will be done on earth in our family as it is written in the books in heaven. We're asking that. And so now that we ask, we will receive that because we've asked for healing. We've asked for finance. We've asked for relationship. We've asked for whatever it may be. We've asked that grandma and grandpa that would come out of the hospital. Whatever it is, we've asked for it because now we've asked. So now the instruction comes. Forgive us this day. Well, forgiveness, this is Yom Kippur. This is the 10 days of awe. Lord, forgive us our trespasses. We're asking for forgiveness. That's repentance. As we forgive those who have trespassed against us. So this is a time where we repent for our sins, but we also repent and release other people from their sins against us. So we don't hold a grudge. We don't hold an offense. We don't hold revenge. We let it all go, just like we did there with the mic. It was bada bing. But then explain to them that in order to receive the blood of Jesus, who's the Lamb of God, our atonement, we have to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive others. And then we say, Lord, we need new wisdom because our brain is being cleansed. Give us this day our daily bread as we forgive those, as we forgive ourselves. And then we ask, Lord, we don't want to do it again. And that's what Yom Kippur is all about. Before we go into Sukkot, we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the word evil in the Hebrew means following the dictates of our own heart. Lord, forgive us. Release us from that. That for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So, I mean, you could take, I could be at a Shabbat table with the 3 and the 5, and of course, the 9-year-old totally gets it. But even the 5-year-old Joseph, he totally tracks. I think people, and I know, I have very smart grandchildren. And they live in this. They don't know anything else other than Shabbat. They're spiritual. They've been raised in spiritual homes. But I think that you would be surprised with your children, even if it doesn't appear that they're getting it, they're getting it. And so I would use an example like that. I just randomly picked that of the Lord's Prayer. But really, the 10 days of awe is kind of the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of like analyzing each one of those steps and saying, I'm going to apply those unto my life. That would be the mechanics of it.
So I've got two questions, and you can answer in any order that you actually want. First, 5786, what's going to make this Yom Kippur different than 5785? And then part two, can you walk through people watching and listening, maybe one of your favorite Yom Kippurs from the past couple years, and like why that impacted you so much?
Okay, well, let's close with that one, but let's talk about the 5786. If you do the numerology, 5 is grace. 50 is jubilee, okay? 7 is perfection. 8 is new beginning. And 6 is the number of man. But one of the ways you get to the number 6 is the number 3 plus 3 is 6. 3 is covenant. And the word the Lord's given me for 5786, it is the year by grace, 5, by perfection, and to the new beginning, I am going to release double covenant blessing on 6 to man. I am going to release the blessing of one new man, in the Hebrew, one new humanity, with a double covenant blessing. So the covenant of the Gentiles, the covenant of the Jew coming together as one new man releases Ephesians 3:20, which is exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. So I think this Yom Kippur will probably be the most profound, the most powerful and effective one I've ever had. Now, we haven't had it yet, but I would say most likely the one that's coming will be the most powerful. I mean, I have great anticipation that you're going to see world events shake. I think you're going to see, I'm not prophesying, but you're going to see, it's kind of like there'll be things developing like the Abraham Accords. I think you're going to see the relationship between Ishmael and Isaac, the Arab nations and Israel. There's going to be some major breakthroughs that will start to happen during this time, because Yom Kippur is a time of humility, repentance, and healing. To answer your question, the best Yom Kippur I've ever had, I would say there was a year, and I don't know the year of it, but we were working with the HAPN and with John Benefil, and he literally bust in and brought all the HAPN representatives. And I can't remember if it was exactly on Yom Kippur or not, but it was on the, it was during that window of time, that feast. And so they brought buses in from Oklahoma City, and we had apostolic leaders from all 50 states. And we didn't anticipate that if we all went down, we all went down 7 times. We dunked 7 times, and we had shouts, and we had the pool surrounded by shofars. So the shofars are blowing, the apostles are going down at once and then coming up and coming out of the water, shouting. It was so loud in that immersion pool. And you had Jews, First Nations, firstborn, black, white, yellow. I mean, every type of individual you can imagine was there, and all 50 states. And we were repenting for the sins of the United States of America. And it was a time I'll never forget. It was epic where everybody went. And then the funny side it was is that when all of us went down, all 50 in a swimming pool, you'll see the picture. But when we all went down together, all the water came out because the bodies were displacing the water, went into the drains and flooded the room. And by the time we got going down 7 times, I think the pool was down about this much. But that was the most epic one for sure.
Where's the redirection need to come? And so it's a pretty broad question, but I think it's a question that needs to be asked. And so references, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a new Hebrew year. There, you know, people following the teaching. I know God's working in their lives, right? But I know how good the enemy is in a lot of different ways. Just getting into your mind, breaking pattern of habits and patterns, routines that you have that glorify God, right? And so if somebody's watching or they're listening to this podcast or listening to this episode, and they know they need a redirection back towards the feast, Yom Kippur, 5786, they need a reset off that redirection, what should they do?
I think having the discipline to either join us online or be in the house on the exact day of Rosh Hashanah and being with us at Yom Kippur and being with us at Sukkot, if you're called to it, I think the sacrifice of obedience is better than sacrifice. If you're called to be online, or you're called, but to be with us either online specifically on those dates and not archive it. Listen, I know people are going to be watching this on the archive. I get that. But if you have the ability, you're hearing this now, I can't tell you. Christy and I just had this conversation here recently of the importance of being in the right place and the right portal at the right time. I'm being invited to be part of the Head of the Year at Gloria Zion. And they specifically put me in on Saturday. That's the day. And the word that the Apostle Chuck has for the Head of the Year in his portal. Now, this is an apostolic international portal, probably one of the most effective and largest portals in the world. Okay. And so the word the Lord gave him is stake your claim. Stake your claim. So when I hear stake your claim, I immediately think of, okay, I go to during the gold rush, you would have to go and get the paperwork, file the claim, and they would have all the geographic information on there, and you'd file the claim. So when you go in to mine the gold, that it's yours and someone, can't legally try to take it from you. So that's kind of where my head went with this. So when I was asked to come and speak a word at Gloria Zion, I have had a word about basically, for me, kind of going into the courts, almost like a Jewish attorney, going into the courts of heaven and laying claim to the benefits of one new man, according to Ephesians 2, Romans 11, the actual benefits. And the benefits are incredible. When we abide together, we create an altar of his presence, which means the Great Commission can operate. Ephesians 3:10, God's intent to make the manifold wisdom to overcome powers and principalities. Ephesians 3:20, the Holy Spirit comes and does exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Ephesians 6, 10 and 12, where we actually understand that we wrestle not against people, so we won't get offended by anybody, but flesh and blood, not flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, heavenly hosts and dark places. All of those benefits. Romans 11, how much more the fullness when the Jews return. And be not ignorant of this mystery, lest you be boast and become wise in your own opinion. All of that revelation. I have been waiting for probably 15 years to preach that message in a place where I know it could be received, and now I get to do it. And that's why when Brian Kuiman texted Megan and said, would your dad come? And Megan said, can he come on Saturday? And it wasn't because of my calendar, but that was the day. And Brian said, yes. And I thought, okay, this is it. And I mean, this is the portal. This is the place. This is the people. All the other apostles that are coming to speak into it are all going to be basically setting it up. I look at it as they're all going to come if we're playing golf. One of them's going to come in on Thursday and drive, and the next one's going to chip up onto the green. And I really sense all I'm going to do on Saturday is come in and knock in a 2-inch putt, and we're going to have a birdie. I feel that strong about it. But you have to realize I have been waiting for years to release something like this. But you have to have the other leaders, the First Nation leaders, which will be there, and First Fruit Gentiles Apostle Chuck and all the other leaders that will be there. Everyone senses and they know this is coming. But basically, I've been preparing for this message for years, and now it's time. And so when you ask a question like, what would you tell them to do? Be in the right place at the right time with the right people and the right heart, and have your heart prepared. That's what we've been doing with all our teaching on the calendar. Have your heart prepared so that when the glory comes, you can take it with you.
Is it going to feel like kind of like a weight's been lifted? Not in a negative sense, but it's a word that you've been carrying for 15 years, right?
Well, for me, the weight's already lifted. Yeah, I got the they gave me the date, and I was down here in Florida, and that's where I get most of my revelation. Megan texted me and said, Brian said it's Saturday. I immediately stopped everything, and I got out my journal, and I started to write this message. And it probably took me maybe 30 minutes because I've had it for 15 years. I knew exactly where I needed to go in the scripture. I feel more apostolic or rabbinical. I really feel like a spiritual attorney going into the atmosphere against the accuser of the brethren. I feel like Moses, kind of in a sense, going, let my people go. Let them go. I mean, I feel it. It's going to be very powerful. But it's already freed me to, it's going to affect everything we do at House of David because I'm carrying all of that at that portal. But that's the one new man portal. House of David is the one new man embassy. It is a one new man specific embassy where the feasts have been celebrated, first fruits, Shabbat, for 26 years. That's what that is. Gloria Zion is an apostolic freedom portal where apostles go to be sent to the nations. That's different than us. It's a different assignment. So what's happening is he's bringing what I carry into his portal to go to the nations. And you know what? People don't get this. If you can't work with other people, then it won't work for you. You've got to be able to learn how to work. You mean the culture at Gloria Zion is similar to House of David, but different. But if I was only going to work with everybody who was exactly like us, I wouldn't work with anybody. And then what happens is that's when religion kind of puts a fence around you and you get trapped in a small little place. But this, what's getting ready to happen is big. I'm so glad I'm going to be able to, so to say, build up to it at House of David and then travel down to Dallas and do it there. It's going to be epic. I feel it already.
Is this an answer to prayer? Is this something you've prayed about for a long time?
This is not something that I just prayed about, but I have many apostolic and prophetic leaders. I have many First Nations apostles who have prayed for this message to be released there and be released to the nations. And I've heard from them. They're all like, once the announcement came that we've all prayed this in, but you have to realize it has to be prayed in. But in addition to that, it wasn't time before for it to be released. It's time now. And I can honestly say, just for me, I may have known this message for 15 years, lived this message longer, but I wasn't ready to deliver it at this level of authority until now. I'm just being transparent. I wasn't ready. And now the Lord has made me ready. I'm ready to operate at that level. And that's what people, the beauty of being at my age now in the Lord is that I don't ever get in a hurry anymore. I just trust the Lord. If I'm supposed to do something, I just need to keep my heart humble. I need to focus on serving his people, not my people. They're his. It's not about me. It's about him. If I seek first his kingdom and I seek first serving his people, everything else gets added on to me. And if I stay in that place, I can be at peace. I don't get anxious like how fast or how slow, because I have learned this over all these years. God's timing is absolutely perfect. And when you try to force it or make it happen, you lose your peace.
Rarely works, does it?
Yep. I'm not saying I'm perfect with it, but at 70, I'm a whole lot more peaceful than I was when I was your age.
All right. So let's do the final prep work So maybe, you know, most like the hurry up, no huddle type of offense going in. You got a minute on the clock, Rabbi. Get everybody prepped. Last word, last piece, heading in to this feast, 5786 Yom Kippur.
Moses is dead. We're leaving the wilderness. We're crossing the Jordan. We're moving into the promised land. Take your place. Leave all the wilderness woes behind. Leave all the doubt and unbelief. Don't worry about the giants in the land. Know that if God be for you, who can be against you? Know that you are truly more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who gives you strength. And know that you can do all things through him who gives you that strength. And remember what the scripture says in 5786, sixth the number of man, David said it this way: how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil that runs down the head, the beard, and the garment of Aaron. It is like the dew on Mount Hermon, and it's there where God commands the blessing of life, life forevermore. So let's be in unity. Let's put our feet up under his table at Rosh Hashanah. Let us cry out for 10 days in repentance and change, and allow the transformation to come from the Lord, knowing that as we sow our gift at Rosh Hashanah, that generosity releases love. Love releases repentance, and repentance releases transformation. So let's come together at Yom Kippur and corporately from around the world, repent that we've sinned against God and God alone, and release all those who have we've sinned against and all of our sins to be removed and expunged by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And let us come on Sukkot and let us abide together in his presence, where he commands that blessing of life, life forevermore. This is a wonderful opportunity in the biblical year 5786, and don't let this opportunity pass you by.
Well, do let us know if you're planning to join us online or in person. There's still enough time. If you're going to join us online, either or, just go to KurtLandry.com/register. Let our team know. We're super excited to celebrate Yom Kippur 5786 with you. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. We'll see you next week.